Well, despite growing calls from within the senior ranks of the US Democrats, with about a dozen now publicly calling on President Joe Biden to step aside, including the longest-serving senator who's made the suggestion that he should seriously consider his future, he has doubled down. In overnight, President Biden has issued a letter to the party, clearly outlining his intention to continue his re-election bid despite these mounting concerns about his mental fitness and the viability of his campaign. He's also hit back at what he calls the party elites. He did that in an interview ahead of what is a critical week on Capitol Hill. He then followed that up with a phone call into the morning show on NBC in the States. So he sent the letter, and then he rang in, and he had this to say. Have a listen.
Well, I wanted to make sure I was right, that the average voter out there still wanted Joe Biden, and I'm confident they do. And I'm confident, and like I said, the press is with me. I think they've been fairly fair. I haven't read any reporting they did today. But the fact is that, you know, I think they have to acknowledge we had large crowds, enthusiastic crowds. And, you know, and now they're talking about whether I use a prompter. Well, I did it all extemporaneously. The fact of the matter is, I'm using prompters, too. I don't get that. But at any rate, the bottom line here is that we're not going anywhere. I am not going anywhere. I wouldn't be running if I didn't absolutely believe that I am the best candidate to beat Donald Trump in 2024.
Closer to home, we heard today John Howard, former Prime Minister, has said US President Joe Biden should have been tapped on the shoulder a few years ago. He said there's a growing worry about his capacity that will make it difficult for him to hold on for another 4 years in power. I mean, I think the election's one thing. It's another thing to suggest he could see out 4 years with the top job. It is just 42 days till the Democratic convention, and then there'll be 119 days to the general election. So will the party rally, or will the calls continue to grow for a challenge? And what would that mean for Donald Trump? TJ O'Hara, author, strategic consultant, and of course, past US presidential candidate himself, friend of Afternoons. Of course, you may have heard him a couple of weeks ago when Greg Kerry was here filling in for me. I'm pleased that he's able to join us once again. Welcome back, TJ.
Thank you, Sophie. It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. All right. Now, it all started with this published letter is the latest thing from the president. And I will say, TJ, he ended it with saying this, I quote, "The question of how to move forward has been well aired for over a week now, and it's time for it to end. We have one job, and this is to beat Donald Trump." That's how he worded the sort of final statement. Do you think that he's done enough to convince the Democrats to keep him on the ticket?
I think he's done enough from a political standpoint because he holds all the cards at this point. The delegates are pledged to him. They're not allowed to change unless the party changes its rules. They're not allowed to change their votes in the first round. So he automatically wins the Democratic National Convention unless he releases his delegates. Now, are they in a position to possibly put pressure on him? Yes, and that's exactly what they're trying to do. It was interesting in that same letter, he talked about how can we stand for democracy in our nation if we ignored it in our own party, when he was referencing the fact that he had won the primaries. That's an interesting take because one of the attacks on Donald Trump by the Democratic Party has consistently been he's a threat to democracy. So now you have the president saying, our party is threatening democracy in a way if they don't let me be president. Mm. So there's a debate that's going back and forth. It's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out.
At the same time, anyone who's sort of willing to walk down what the alternative would be suggests that Vice President Kamala Harris would be the likely candidate to replace Joe Biden November 5. And they're saying, you know, she would perform well. But we've also heard the very derogatory way that Trump was recorded on the golf course speaking about her. Is Kamala Harris the only real viable option, in your opinion?
I would suspect that the Democratic Party hopes that's not the case because she may be the only politician in the United States who's polling lower than President Biden. She's not well-respected, generally speaking, even within her own party, but across the board among independents and certainly among Republicans. She's almost been an insurance policy. The problem that they have is that she was brought in specifically because the president had promised in 2020 to nominate a black woman. Mm. and she qualified on both counts. The problem for the party now is if they drift away from her, and certainly the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, has been actively running a shadow campaign for president. If they were to select him, I think they have a serious problem with the black vote. And that's a vote they desperately need to be able to win this election.
You know, and you've got to say that the party broadly has to be criticized for putting him in this position. He, you have a man, regardless of how you feel about his politics or the success he's had as president, he served his country for over 50 years. And when he won in 2020, surely at that point, there should have been a succession plan put in place.
I totally agree with you. There should have been a succession plan put in place. But beyond that, I would suggest anybody who was around him should have known back in 2020 that there should have never been a need for a succession plan. They should have found a different candidate. The problem was they were defaulting to name recognition over quality of representation. So now you have House members coming out. Multiple House members have come out. You have mainstream media, cable news, which had been classically aligned with him, denigrating him right after the last debate. But you have mainstream media like the New York Times, Chicago Tribune, New Yorker, Washington Post, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and even The Economist, which has been saying he should have been moved aside since 2022. And the party has ignored that. And what they've done is they put him on a platform. They've created their own problem because they put him on a platform. His press secretary routinely says he gets more accomplished in an hour than anyone else in an entire day. He's nothing but energy. He's incredibly bright. They've made him a Mensa character, if you will. And the facts have never suggested that. Joe, in his best days, back in his earlier Senate years, wasn't the brightest bulb in the chandelier, to be quite frank about it. He always struggled. He was never one of those people who would be considered one of the intellectual elite in the Senate. And yet he has just tagged along, and the vice presidency is what really pulled him into the limelight. And once he was there, he was a smart enough politician to capitalize on it.
Why would anyone else touch it? You mentioned Gavin Newsom, a lot of people suggesting that he is presidential material. But wouldn't you want to just sort of sit back now and see things, how things unfold? Because if it ends up being a loss and that, you know, Trump ends up back in the White House, then Gavin Newsom would be placed to be the run into the next election?
I think that's what a smart politician would do. And I think Gavin Newsom is smart enough to recognize that he would have a better and a cleaner path to victory in 2028 than in 2024. No one wants to assume the mantle at this point for fear of not having enough runway to be able to knock off the former president, because he's got, you know, a large lead at this point in time. However, there's always bartering behind the scenes, where if you do this favor for us now, this is what we'll do for you in 2028. Perhaps somebody will step up for that. I'll tell you one person who I think would take it in a heartbeat, will never admit it, but it's Hillary Clinton. She continues to try and remain relevant, but she desperately needs to be begged to come in and save the party.
A couple of questions from listeners quickly, TJ. One is Michelle Obama. Do you think that she would ever put her name in the hat?
I think she'd be resistant to it. She's living the lifestyle of the rich and famous.
Yeah.
She was never enamored with Washington, D.C. She said it was like being in a jail, having to live in the White House. So I doubt it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that that couldn't happen. She might do it because pressure from her husband, but I rather doubt it.
And then Terry from Park Ridge, this is a question that I've seen several times before, and that is, what happens to donations if Joe Biden, for whatever reason, was to decide to step away, or even if Kamala Harris pulled out of the race? There's this idea that if you've donated to their campaign that you have to pay the money back. My understanding is once you've given it, you've given it.
Once you've given it, you've given it. There was actually a lawsuit back in 2016 in Florida, and people who supported Bernie Sanders brought the lawsuit against the Democratic Party because the Democratic Party was exposed for having favored Hillary Clinton and having blocked Bernie Sanders. So they brought a lawsuit and said, we want our money back. And interestingly enough, in that case, they lost on a standing issue, on a technicality. But the DNC argued that they didn't have to provide a fair election in the primaries, that it was the party's choice and they could pick whoever they wanted to be their presidential candidate. They didn't have to follow even their own rules.
One thing I will ask is that, you know, with this letter, Joe Biden now is clearly trying to get the conversation to turn back to policy positions and what they will do if they are re-elected. He's trying to remind the Democratic base of what it is that they stand for. Do you think that everyone talking and spending so much time and energy about his frailty and his age means that the politics is really getting lost in all of this and it just comes down to a personality contest between Biden and Trump?
I think they want it to be a personality contest because it was based on policy. The results aren't very strong, and I'll give you an example. They have been arguing for months now that inflation is coming down. Well, nobody's stealing that, and there's a reason. They're arguing that core inflation is coming down, and it is. It's slowing. It's not going negative. It's not reversing itself in any ways. It's simply slowing. So instead of adding 5% every quarter, it's only adding 3%. But beyond that, core inflation is considered to be the better long-term metric because it subtracts volatility. Well, when it subtracts volatility, what prices are they ignoring? Mm. They're ignoring energy costs for gasoline and so forth, food costs, housing costs.
Yeah.
In other words, everything that impacts real people.
Yeah.
So they're not particularly strong in policy. They have to argue personality, and they have to argue threat to democracy. Because if they go policy, I think they lose.
In the meantime, it all plays into Donald Trump's favor and his base. I know that I saw in the New York Post today that he is closer to a final decision and an announcement on his running mate for the election. The suggestion is that the choice would be between North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum and Senator J.D. Vance.
I've heard a variety of things. I've heard Tim Scott's still in the running. I've heard that Marco Rubio's still in the running. I think Governor Burgum is probably his favorite. However, Governor Burgum doesn't bring a lot to the table. And he's also at an age where he isn't the future of the party. I think, and I've said this before on your show with Greg the last time, I don't think J.D. Vance is ready for that position. He's 40 years old. He has limited experience. I think he needs to season a bit. And he also has said some negative things that lend themselves to Democratic ads about the president, one time referring him as America's Hitler. So that's a tough one to overcome as a VP, although Kamala Harris called Biden a sexual predator and a racist. So I guess you can overcome that in the world of politics. I think Tim Scott and Marco Rubio would bring some demographic advantages, and they're also younger and could represent the next wave. So you could be looking at party strength from a Republican Party standpoint, not only for the next 4 years, but for the eight after that.
Well,
so I would think they would be the wiser choice, but he may very well go with Doug Burgum.
What we know, TJ, is that people are going to continue to look on with interest. There's going to be many opportunities now over the next couple of weeks for Joe Biden to be seen in public. Everyone will be deciphering and dissecting every move and every utterance. And there's, you know, even talk about the fact that there were practitioners that went to the White House who were experts in Parkinson's disease. Like, it just is such a massive, massive talking point at the moment. Nobody is going to be shying away from continuing to push him on those issues.
I think this is one of those Wizard of Oz moments when it's like, ignore the man behind the green curtain.
Sure.
They're going to, I doubt that the president can appear significantly different or more cogent in his comments than he has in recent history. So the question is, are people going to be willing to ignore that? And that's why I think a lot of it still comes down to the fear-mongering. You know, democracy is at risk. We're all going to die. The United States is going to end if Trump is elected. And the other thing, the character issues. And obviously, Trump has a lot of character issues.
Certainly does. TJ, as always, a pleasure to have you join us. And I have no doubt we will catch up again soon.
Look forward to it, Sophie. Thank you so much.
That's TJ O'Hara. What do you make of it? Let me know. 133-882. Should he stick to his guns, or is it time to maybe step aside?